a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate will come to order. And leading us in our prayer today is our chaplain, Dan Bader, from the ministerium here in Pier, Fort Pier. And leading us in our Pledge of Allegiance today is our page of the day, Natasha Sund, from the great city of Winter.
Let us pray. God of gracious love, love for each and every person, we come before you this day reminded that we come as students and citizens and elected officials who have said yes to serving your people, all of your people. We ask that you would grant us wisdom, guidance, and counsel as we seek those ways in which we might offer justice, righteousness, and mercy. Give us eyes to see the needs of the people, ears that we hear the voices of concern within our state, hearts that would allow us to respond in compassionate ways, and may we always focus on doing what is right, just, and good. Lord, I would ask that you would surround us and all the people of this great state, which we call home, in your grace so that we may lead with integrity and honesty, and that the decisions which are made are for the good of all creation, for the state and its people. In the name of God, amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein, Bugalka, Bradford, Buell, Ewing, Frerix, Heineman, Holeen, Hunhop, Jensen, Johnston, Jones, Kirkaby, Krebs, Lederman, Lucas, Maher, Monroe, Nordstrom, Olson, Umdahl, Otten, Peters, Rampelberg, Rave, Roden, Soholt, Sutton, Tiedemann, Thiessen, Van Gerpen, Valley, Welke, White. Quorum present, Mr. President.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Approval of our journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the ninth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Corey Brown, Chair.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Welcome to all of you to your state capitol and especially to the South Dakota Senate. We as Senate members want to thank you for your impeccable choice on coming to the right chamber. You had two choices today, and you made the right one. That's excellent. The senators here would like to welcome all of you, as well as the individuals who are watching us on television and over the Internet. And some specific introductions we have with us today on behalf of Senator Omdahl and all of us. We have the Credit Union Association members who are up here, and they have their social tonight. It was on the calendar wrong, so it's tonight from 5 to 8 at the Ramcota. Our credit union friends, where are you? Stand up. Thank you very much. And we also have on behalf of Senator Welke, the senior government class from Castlewood. And their instructor, Barry Jacobson from Castlewood. Welcome. Thank you, Mr. Jacobson, for bringing them. And then also, we'd like to welcome, on behalf of Senator Sutton, to the gallery, the students from the Colombe High School senior class, their instructor, Mr. Sherman, and Superintendent Alan Armstrong. And the great news is our page of the day, Natasha over here, is a member of that class, and she did a fine job. So you need to stand up too, Natasha. It's really important for you to be here, and especially young people who will be seniors, think about becoming a page or talking to the individuals who have. It's really important to understand that this is about people from all backgrounds coming to serve as citizen legislators. And so we're going to get through our agenda today, and we go through a set agenda, and our next item is reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Local Government reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 88 and recommends do pass consent. Senate Bill 86 and recommends do pass. Mike Kirkaby, Chair. The Committee on Transportation reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 45 and 48 and recommends due pass, and Senate Bill 41 and recommends due pass as amended. Mike Valley, Chair. The Committee on Taxation reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1040 and recommends due pass. Ryan Maher, Chair.
Our next item is messages.
Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Bill 1020, 1051, 1054, 1055, 1061, 1064, 1070, 1071, and 1072, which have passed the House and your favorable consideration is respectfully requested. Arlene Kvislin, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
Senator Olson moves that Senate Bill 5 be placed to precede Senate Bill 3 and Senate Bill 4 be placed to follow Senate Bill 3 on today's calendar.
Second.
All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion carried. So everyone on your calendars, that motion results in, on our second reading, it'll be 66, 5, 3, and 4. 66 on our second reading, our debate calendar, 5, 3, and 4. Our next item of business is consideration of executive appointments. The Senate has, under its constitutional authority, the requirement to give what's called advice and consent, essentially approval of appointments that come up through various executive branch officers or other constitutional offices that come in here. So we will take up now consideration of executive appointments. Madam Secretary.
The Senate proceeds now to the consideration of the executive appointment of Keith Bonenberger of Jackson County, Kadoka, South Dakota, to the Board of Pardons and Paroles.
Comments on that? Good afternoon, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. President, sorry about that. I asked to be able to talk about Keith. Keith is not only a friend, but he also lives in my district. And I consider him a neighbor. Keith, and I also had the privilege of seeing Keith in action at the prison on the parole board. Outstanding job. I want to thank everybody for his reappointment, and I urge you to support Keith. He's an outstanding man.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks? Hearing no further remarks, the question before the Senate is, does the Senate advise and consent to the executive appointment of Keith Bonenberger pursuant to the messages found on page 106 of the Senate Journal to the Board of Pardons and Paroles? Those in favor of advice and consent will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bagalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell. Ewing.
Aye.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, ayes 35.
The question then, does the Senate advise and consent to the executive appointment of Keith Bonenberger to the Board of Pardons and Paroles, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed, and the appointment is confirmed. Consideration of committee reports.
Senator Olson moves that the reports of the Standing Committee on State Affairs on Senate Bill 70, as found on page 154 of the Senate Journal, also Commerce and Energy on Senate Bill 61, as found on page 155 of the Senate Journal, also Commerce and Energy on Senate Bill 67, as found on page 155 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
All those in favor of adoption signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Right now we have what's called the first reading of Senate bills. Madam Secretary is going to pass these out up front. They have sets, all four of our team up here. Actually, you'll be reading at the same time, and it'll look strange, but the Constitution requires that they be read title and number, and that I announce what committee they're in, because before we had computers, individuals would keep track by pencil and paper or pen and paper so that folks could understand what the bill name was and where it was going to be assigned. We still have to comply with the Constitution, which is a good thing, but it'll look strange. But it's already loaded up into the computer and ready to go. So as an efficiency move, we're going to have everyone talk at the same time. First reading of Senate bills, please.
Senate Bill 121, an act to repeal certain provisions relating to the Commission on Intergovernmental Cooperation and to authorize state membership in the Council of State Governments. Senate Bill 144, an act to revise how municipalities may assess property for improvements. Senate Bill 145, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the content of annual property tax bill. Senate Bill 156, an act to authorize township boards to increase the front foot assessment for road maintenance and repairs. Senate Bill 157, an act to revise the distribution from the wind energy tax fund. Senate Bill 175, an act to exempt trucking of used tires and tire casing from sales and use tax. Senate Joint Resolution 2, proposing and submitting to the electors at the next general election amendment to Article 11, Sections 13 and 14, and Article 23, Section 1 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota relating to the vote required to increase taxes. Senate Bill 112, an act to repeal the lower rate of tax imposed on income over $400 million for the bank franchise tax. Senate Bill 113, an act to increase the penalties for the failure to timely and accurately pay the bank franchise tax. Senate Bill 117, an act to provide for an expedited endorsement of certain licenses, certificates, registrations, and permits for spouses of active duty military personnel. Senate Bill 118, an act to provide for the issuance of a resident medical license and to repeal certain resident training permits issued by the Board of Medical and Osteopathic Examiners. Senate Bill 125, an act to provide for the award of joint physical custody of children under certain circumstances. Senate Bill 136, an act to revise the state aid to education formula and make an appropriation. Senate Bill 146, an act to provide for the collection of certain gaming taxes, penalties, and interest and to declare an emergency. Senate Bill 153, an act to clarify removing consistencies from and revise certain provisions relating to the formation and operation of watershed districts. Senate Bill 162, an act to establish goals and objectives for economic development. Senate Bill 166, an act to revise the number of years that permits to carry a concealed weapon are valid. Senate Bill 182, an act to enhance economic development. Senate Bill 185, an act to clarify the authority of the Interim Rules Review Committee. Senate Bill 186, an act to establish Good Earth State Park at Blood Run in Lincoln County. Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, proposing and submitting to the electors of this next general election amendment to Article 3, Section 6 of the Constitution of the State of South Dakota relating to legislative terms and legislative term limits. Senate Joint Resolution Number 3, proposing a constitutional amendment to provide that the fundamental right of state citizens to bear arms cannot be infringed and is subject to strict scrutiny.
Thank you. The Senate announces the following assignment of such bills to the respective committees by the President pro tem: to Agriculture and Natural Resources, 115, 116, 148, 149, 150, 152, 155, 161, 164, 171, 178, 183, 184. To Appropriations, Senate Bills 123, 124, 131, 140, 163, 172, 176, 180, Commerce, 111, 134, 139, 141, Education, 119, 137, 138, 158, and 159. To Health and Human Services, 120, 133, 135, 160, 168, 181. To Judiciary, 114, 132, 114, 173, 174, and 177. Local Government, Senate Bills 122, 126, 127, 128, 129, 130, 165, 167, 169, and 179. State Affairs, 112, 113, 112, 11, 113, 117, 118, 125, 136, 146, 153, Senate Joint Resolution 1, Senate Bills 162, 166, 182, 185, 186, and Senate Joint Resolution 3 to taxation, Senate Bills 121, 144, 145, 175, 156, 157, and Senate Joint Resolution 2 to transportation, Senate Bills 142, 143, 151, 154, and 170. Same drill here with the House bills. We have House bills that have come over for first reading. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 1066, an act to continue the current rate of the gross receipts tax imposed on visitor-related businesses. House Bill 1039, an act to clarify the gross receipts subject to taxation by the retail sales and service tax, the gross receipts tax on visitor-related businesses, the municipal non-ad valorem tax, and the municipal gross receipts tax. House Bill 1012, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the student eligible for resident tuition benefits at universities controlled by the Board of Regents. House Bill 1018, an act to revise certain provisions concerning elections and petitions. House Bill 1011, an act to authorize the Board of Hearing Aid Dispensers and Audiologists to establish a 30-day trial period for the sale of hearing aids. House Bill 1019, an act to authorize the involuntary treatment of jailed prisoners with psychotropic medication. House Bill 1047, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the examination for an application for a funeral service license. House Bill 1024, an act to provide for the addition of certain employees of the municipality of Sioux Falls to the South Dakota retirement system. House Bill 1025, an act to revise certain actuarial and reporting requirements relating to the South Dakota retirement system. House Bill 1032, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the money, clothing, and transportation furnished inmates released from the Department of Corrections.
Thank you. House Bill 1012 is assigned to Education, Health, and Human Services. House Bills 1011, 1019, 1047. Judiciary 1032, Local Government 1018, State Affairs 1066, Taxation House Bill 1039, the Retirement Laws, House Bills 1024 and 1025. Our next order of business is what we refer to as the consent calendar. We have a couple of different items today. Consent calendar are items that have come out of committees that are not subject to debate, but questions can be asked. If there's a bill or an appointment that the senators wish to debate, they can go ahead and request that, and tomorrow is when that debate would take place. Today we have two appointments, and we'll take each one of those executive appointments considerations, and then the rest of the bills, we have three of those bills we'll take as a package. So, senators, we're on to our consent calendar, and we'll start with the appointments for the consent calendar. Madam Secretary.
Thomas E. Simmons of Pennington County, Rapid City, South Dakota, to the Board of Pardons and Paroles in Senate Journal 106, and Sharon Calamine of Pennington County, Rapid City, South Dakota, to the Crime Victims Compensation Commission on Senate Journal page 107.
Any questions on this proposed appointment for advice and consent? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is, does the Senate advise and consent to the executive appointment of Thomas Simmons to the Board of Pardons and Paroles? And
I think we're going to separate that out. We're going to do them together.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And Sharon Calamine to the Crime Victims Compensation Commission. For those in favor of advice and consent on both of those appointments, you'll vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Narstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, ayes 35.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The question, does the Senate advise and consent to the executive appointment of Thomas Simmons to the Board of Barden and Paroles and Sharon Kalaman to the Crime Victims Compensation Commission? Both of those are receiving an affirmative vote of the majority members of the Senate elected, has passed, and therefore those appointments are confirmed. Now we'll move on to the bills. Consent calendar.
Senate Bill 71, an act to correct the name of a post-secondary institution authorized to provide educational programs in South Dakota. House Bill 1008, an act to codify legislation enacted in 2012. House Bill 1009, an act to correct an error in the recreational vehicle title statute.
Thank you. Senate Bill 71, 1008, 1009, having received a second reading, are up for consideration and final passage. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 71 and House Bills 1008 and 1009. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bagalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Here.
Mr. President, ayes 35.
Senate Bill 71, House Bill 1008, House Bill 1009, having received a majority vote of the members elect, our hall hereby declared passed. Are there any questions on the titles? Hearing none, the titles are approved, and we're on to our debate calendar. Please. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 66, an act to revise the style and form of certain provisions, to amend certain provisions to streamline and clarify, and to repeal certain obsolete and unnecessary provisions pertaining to the Real Estate Commission.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Senate Bill 66, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Good afternoon, Senator Holeen.
Good afternoon to you, too. And along with Senator White, might I say that I'm here as well. So, Senate Bill 66 is just a very simple cleanup bill brought by the Department of Revenue.
Senator,
and the.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but really I'm not. Do you have an amendment that you'd like to push now?
I do. I was wondering if I should speak to the bill first before moving the amendment.
You know, why don't you go ahead and move it, and then we'll get a second. You could talk with both. And
that would be great. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
I do have an amendment. It has been distributed.
Thank you. And it's Mark 66, Juliet Alpha. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Comments on the motion to amend and the bill, sir. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you very much. Senate Bill 66 is a cleanup bill that was brought by the Department of Revenue and the Real Estate Commission to clean up some regulations and bring us into compliance with some changes on the federal level. The bill originally passed, it passed without any opposition testimony. It was placed on the consent calendar, and only after it was placed on the consent calendar, one very minor issue arose in regard to part of the change, and that is the justification for the amendment. The amendment is an agreement between the Real Estate Commission and the Department of Motor Vehicles and the South Dakota Manufactured Housing Association, and it's regarding the sale of mobile homes, which they just think that for the time being they want it kept as the status quo and that they will study it over the summer and come back next year with a recommendation. Currently, the sale of mobile and manufactured homes are regulated by the Real Estate Commission and the DMV, and the parties agree that they just want a more thorough look at that particular component. It's the only thing that was an issue. The amendment resolves that, and talked with all parties involved afterwards, and everyone is still in compliance with the bill. So I would urge your favorable consideration on the amendment and also upon the bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator, very much. Further remarks on the motion to amend? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is adoption of the motion to amend by Senator Holeen, marked 66JA. Those in favor of that motion to amend will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Further remarks on Senate Bill 66 as amended? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 66 as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Pagalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holeen.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Nordstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Umdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White. Mr. President, ayes 35.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Senate Bill 66, as amended, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is approved. Thank you.
Senate Bill 5. An act to establish the public purpose and goals of post-secondary education, to provide for the funding of higher education, and to create the Council on Higher Education Policy Goals, Performance, and Accountability.
Thank you. Senate Bill 5, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. President.
Good afternoon, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Amendment to Marked 5, Charlie Foxtrot. Is that correct?
Correct, sir.
You move that amendment at this time.
I'd like to.
Second.
I grant you, it's been moved and seconded. I'll grant you the latitude to speak to the amendment and the bill, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the body, I had the privilege this past summer of being the chair for the Post-Secondary Education Task Force, where we studied our post-secondary institutions in South Dakota, and that includes both our regental or our public regental schools and our technical institutes. The committee was comprised of legislators who have got a great knowledge of our state's appropriations process. As a matter of fact, of the 15 members on the committee, 8 of them are members that have served on the Appropriations Committee, including the current chair and vice chair, and we had the pleasure of also having the chair of our Senate Education Committee serve with us on that committee. Our committee, as any task force goes, you go through a lot of busy work and a lot of time out of the summer, which, you know, you typically think of as the off season for the legislature. And as a citizens legislature, it's very difficult to get 15 people at 5 different locations throughout the state and throughout the summer to study an issue that's as important as our post-secondary education system. So I want to thank our members that took time away from their families to travel across South Dakota. We went to 5 different locations, and I was happy to actually host our group in my hometown of Madison, where we toured Dakota State University. We invited the technical institutions to that meeting, as well as the regents, to come in and tour DSU, and I was really happy to see my good friend Senator Bradford and how he noted the diversity on DSU's campus. There was a map that we looked at, and it was different than a lot of universities where we look at a 5 or 6 state region where we draw students into universities. DSU's was a global map, and it had dots on it from kids that come from all over the world to study cybersecurity and information systems at Dakota State University. And so I was glad to have my friends in my town and show off Dakota State University and the great things they're doing. We also traveled out to the Black Hills and went through School of Mines, and we also went through BH, and we went to Western Dakota Tech. And at all those stops along the way, we were given an opportunity to sit back and be able to hear our institutions brag about the great work that they're doing to put the next generation of South Dakota's workforce on the payrolls. The committee, in the broadest sense, I believe that we accomplished several main important policy outcomes. We defined the purpose for public post-secondary education. We established state policy goals for post-secondary education, created a means for ongoing policy review and engagement of state policymakers, including legislators, in the policy goals process. We created a means for a comprehensive review of all higher education policy for universities and our technical institutions. We set up a framework for higher education systems resources that includes performance funding related to policy goals. And we focused on the state policy level issues on systems rather than institutions. Senate Bill 5 reflects the consensus of our committee and sets out the Central Committee recommendations. It establishes the structure for setting the state policy goals for post-secondary education and provides a link between state policy goals and funding. The committee's intent was to provide a means where all post-secondary institutions and systems were treated in a common manner, the Board of Regents and technical institutions. I believe that we were successful in providing an equitable means for doing just that. We were able to align both of those post-secondary educational institutions and while still allowing them to keep their autonomy. In Section 2, you'll see of Senate Bill 5, we established the purpose for public post-secondary education. Never before in our state's history have we actually defined the purpose for post-secondary education. So I'll hit on the four main components of that. And that's a workforce that meets the current and prospective needs of the state's economy, affordable post-secondary education opportunities for all state citizens, access to post-secondary education programs, and a foundation upon which the state can grow and develop the innovative capacities for the state's economy. Section 6 creates the Council on Higher Education Policy, Goals, Performance, and Accountability, which is an acronym for absolutely nothing.
I got it.
So I lost a few people, so I was just checking pulses, sir. This council will have representatives from the executive branch. So the governor will serve on it. The secretary of the Commissioner of Labor and Regulation, the Office of Economic Development, the Bureau of Finance and Management. On the legislative end, we'll have three senators and three House members. From the regents, we'll have their executive officers, so their president and vice president, their executive director, and one institutional president. The technical schools will be represented by the Secretary of Education, the Director of Career and Technical Education, and one technical institutional president. And the amendment that I've distributed actually comes as a result of the compromise that we saw throughout the bill. We had the current order of importance for the funding mechanisms. Where funding's available, once those policy goals and objectives are derived, you know, we decided that we would answer to the technical schools and have the CPI first, the mission and expansion, and the performance be last as the money came in. The technical schools requested, and we acquiesced to that in the Senate Education, to be removed from the funding component but to be left into the policy end of this package of bills. Now that they are not involved in the funding aspect of this, I would respectfully ask that you consider putting those folks back in the order of performance funding, mission and expansion, and then with the CPI being last. Ladies and gentlemen, Senate bills 3 and 4 are next on our docket, and I would favorably ask for your consideration to pass all three bills in their current form with the amendment that's at hand. And I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senator Olson's motion to amend, marked 5, Charlie Foxtrot. Hearing none, all those in favor of that motion to amend signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. It is so amended. Further remarks on Senate Bill 5. Senator Kirkaby, good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. I do have a amendment for your consideration.
And that's marked 5, Charlie Golf. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
You move it at this time?
I do.
Second. Comments on the motion to amend, and I'll grant you latitude as well, sir, to speak to the bill. Is your mic on? I'm sorry. Is it?
I'm hot and live, Mr. President.
Yes, sir, you are.
Thank you.
Light the candle.
Thank you. Honorable members of this chamber, I did have the opportunity and the sincere privilege to serve on that interim higher education study that this summer. We certainly did put in an awful lot of effort into it. But on behalf of the four technical institutes, Lake Area Technical Institute, Mitchell Tech Institute, Southeast, and Western Dakota Tech, who have asked me to bring this amendment for your consideration, with the bill as it currently sitting, those three vitally important components of this piece of legislation, the policy goals mechanism, the funding, and to create that council, one element right now the technical institutes are in fact removed from, and that is that funding source from that. The technical institutes certainly have the highest level of respect and are deeply appreciative to all the efforts that went into this. But at this time, because of those components are not equal within that piece of legislation, I would humbly ask for your favorable consideration to pass this amendment. And with that, I would stand by for any questions. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on Senator Kirkaby's motion to amend, marked 5, Charlie Golf. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And members of the body, I'm troubled a little bit by the nature of how our process came together, and that was involvement and respect throughout the process of both our technical institutes and the regents, and trying to make sure that everybody was involved and had a say throughout the process. To me, we've had compromise all along the way. We had Department of Labor that asked for some changes. We had the Governor's Office, the Board of Regents, technical schools actually, right before we had our committee hearing for Senate Education, asked us to remove them from the funding component of this piece of legislation. And I insisted, and I'm going to insist again and ask for your support to defeat my good friends and fellow committee members' amendment to remove the technical schools in their entirety from this piece of legislation. I think takes them four steps backwards when everybody on that committee considers themselves an advocate for our technical institutions. And we've tried to put them on the same pedestal, if you will, as our regional schools in comparison. They have went through a magnanimous transformation in their marketing effort to make their campuses look more collegial, their apparel, the student body respect that they have, and the way that the students carry themselves is in a more collegial manner. And for us to take them out now of this and not have them be part of the policy goal setting for the next governor that we elect to set his priorities with our input for the policy goals end of this, I think it really does a disservice to our technical institutes. They've asked to be taken out of it. I disagree. I think that they need to be at the table, and I'm going to ask you to resist the motion.
Further remarks on the Kirkaby motion to amend. Senator Frerichs, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. President, and thank you very much so to the folks that served on this summer study. Those of us that probably don't invest as much of our off-season time and taking so much of the time to work on these interim studies, appreciate your work. And I know for me it's easy to focus heavily on the legislature at this time of the year, but then in the off-season it's kind of nice to focus on the real jobs. But you folks have dedicated a tremendous amount of time to come up with not only some legislation that we're considering today in three different bills, but also in trying to do what you can to bring the folks in post-secondary education to the table and work through some things. In listening to the previous speaker's remarks, I have to share just a little bit from my own personal perspective, having not only taught at Lake Area Tech in Watertown, but also having been a part of career and technical education throughout my entire time, not only as a student, but also as a teacher in that profession. Having said all that, I sincerely enjoyed and have huge respect for my time at our one land-grant university, which happens to be right along the interstate in the central part of our state, and very proud of our jackrabbits. But there's definitely different missions that we accomplish in the Technical Institute side of things and with the Board of Regents side here in South Dakota. Yes, it's been real clear that we've seen more student centers popping up across the campuses at our technical institutes. At the same time, we've seen more young people look to the technical institutes as a possibility when they consider any type of post-secondary schooling. And when they make those decisions, it's no longer been the stigma that you have to go to some type of four-year college. You know, we've broken through that stigma that's attached to the only way to, so-called success is through a four-year university. The technical institutes have been very successful in their branding. They can speak for themselves to determine whether or not they want to become more collegial, like my good friend and counterpart just across the aisle has just mentioned that it appears that way from the outside looking in. They can speak for themselves. But I know, having worked with those young people as their teacher, what they're asking for more than anything is just simply respect as students. And they know that they're furthering their abilities to become very successful citizens in the state who are integrated directly into the workforce. And so whatever type of other terms that we may try to associate with those individuals who do choose to go the technical school route, I think we just need to simply give them respect. And in this instance, the technical institutes are asking to be set apart from things because they have a very different mission, which is strictly focused on workforce career readiness to immediately enter that workforce upon their completion of that program. We know, as I referenced, the land-grant university, along with the other Board of Regents institutions, they're going to involve research, they're going to involve extension, and obviously the whole hierarchy of education and moving forward up the ranks, whether it may be starting with the bachelor's or moving to master's or any type of doctoral level. That's their goals, a mission that's different for our technical institutes. So with that, I ask for your favorable support on the amendment from the good senator from Rapid City. But again, in doing so, in great respect for this interim committee who has invested a tremendous amount of their time. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend. Senator Peters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I rise in opposition to the amendment as proposed by my good friend from Rapid City for a lot of different reasons, but predominantly because for the last 8 years that I've been up here in Pierre, we've seen the historical trends of how our tech schools are funded. We've seen the historical trends that they're treated like the redheaded stepchild in our budget process. We've seen it in how our second floor deals with the economic development and the workforce and how they are included in how all that process works together. We saw it even in appropriations this year when we looked at the education budget just yesterday, and the tech schools are included in the education budget to the tune of about $21 million, but they were not there. In my opinion, we need to elevate the technical institutes to a level where they need the respect that they deserve. We need to elevate them and keep them at the level that we give the Board of Regents. In the appropriations process, we give the Board of Regents 2 days, two whole days, 8 hours. The tech schools, so far, nothing. We need to make sure that in this bill, we keep the technical institutes at the table with the Board of Regents. We know our technical institutes perform well. We know what their goals are because they outline them. We know they achieve them, and we know that they exceed them. Why not reward them for good behavior? That's what this bill does. If we put this amendment on, it takes the technical schools out of that formula. It takes them out of us giving us the ability to reward them for a job well done. We know they do a good job. Please do not give them the disservice of taking them out of this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Adelstein.
I find myself conflicted. I certainly can't disagree with anything that the senator from Minnehaha County just said. At the same time, as she reflected, they weren't there at the table. I think this is an excellent program, and I worry about the fact that the technical schools have no independent or even allied governance. So I have a question, if I may, for the sponsor of the original bill without without that amendment.
I'm sorry, at this time that would be out of order. Just questions on the amendment because that's before us, Senator.
Could I speak to the amendment then alone?
Yes, sir, you are. Very
okay,
well.
Okay, I have
thanks.
A question for the Senator from Lake, Minor, Moody, and Sanborn County.
State your question, Senator.
How would the portion of the bill without this amendment be able to utilize and reward the secondary, the technical institutes if the time comes that there is actually financial rewards?
Thank you. Senator Olson, do you wish to answer the question?
Hi, Mr. President. Thank you for the question, Senator. Part of the reason that I insist on keeping the technical schools in the policy portion of this is that regardless of who our governor is going to be in 2014, I think that there's probably a gentleman at the front of the room that would like to see a certain individual stay our governor in 2014. But regardless of who that is, that next governor is going to work with our group of legislators and policymakers on behalf of the technical schools and the regents to establish the next 4 years' worth of goals. And as part of that, if they've taken themselves out of the game altogether, they're not at the table for that reformulation or the resetting of goals to set the ship in the right direction so that both the technical schools and the regental schools are producing a labor force that helps out with the economic development goals of that new administration, whoever it may be. So to take themselves out, Senator, they're out of the game. And I can't sit by and watch them take what I feel are steps backwards for the last 6 years, I've considered myself an advocate for the technical schools, both on the CTE side of things, technical scholarships, and now with this movement. And so, Senator, I hope I've answered your question, but I really do hope that having them at the table allows them to set rewards for themselves for their performance and or their placement. They have the best placement ratings anywhere in the nation, and they were constantly awarded for that. So it all goes towards the great work that they do, and by taking them out, I believe that they go backwards.
Further remarks on the motion to amend. Senator Johnson, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to be real brief. 245. 245. No, it's not 245. But 245 represents the number of articulation agreements between our technical schools and our regent schools. The technical schools, just simply because of that, those articulation agreements need to be part of the policy discussion. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further remarks on the motion to amend. Senator Nordstrom, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand today in opposition to the amendment. I served on the interim task force, and as a vocal and strong supporter of vocational education and the technical institutes, I think if the goal of this, and I'll just read you the first goal, it says a workforce. It's going to establish the purpose of public post-secondary education in a workforce that meets the current and prospective needs of the state's economy. I don't see how you can go forward with this council without the technical institutes represented when their primary mission is exactly what this is about. So as a supporter of the technical institutes, I would be a no vote on the amendment because I want the technical institutes to have a seat at the table. Thank you.
Further remarks on the motion to amend? Does anybody wish to speak before Senator Kirkaby speaks a second time on his motion to amend? Hearing none, Senator Kirkaby. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. It certainly was a great discussion, and I tried to be not only sincere but respectful to not only that process that we're privileged to serve in, but as well as all the work that we did, in fact, put into this summer. I can't emphasize enough that this request, this amendment, is coming from our technical institutes. Again, they're trying not to stir up anything. For me personally, I can speak for myself that there certainly has been an historic level of distance with the Board of Regents. This is coming from me personally. So if that's an area that they might be considering, they have not shared that with me. But Mr. President and members of this Senate, I think that the ability to separate our technical institutions, their philosophy, their programs, what they do for workforce development, certainly cannot be part of a long-range plan, a study that in all likelihood are fixing to approve in the passage of Senate Bill 5 when there is no funding mechanism for them. There might be a seat at the table for them in policy discussions and looking out for the future, but I think it is appropriate to actually consider separating our technical institutes and our Board of Regents. With that, Mr. President, thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. Further remarks on Senator Kirkaby's motion to amend? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is Senator Kirkaby's motion to amend marked 5, Charlie Gulf. Those in favor of that motion to amend signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Motion fails. Further remarks on Senate Bill 5 as amended? Senator Lucas, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President, and ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. As a member of the Executive Board this past spring, I gave the approval for the summer study of the purpose of higher education in South Dakota, including the appointment of the 15 legislators that served on that. And I respect the work that all of you did this summer, especially taking the time to visit the campuses. As the senator from Flandreau indicated, at Madison, Dakota State, and also out at Black Hill State University in the School of Mines in Rapid City. However, in that scope and mission of the summer study, I expected that you were going to come back, and it says you're going to review performance funding and come forth with some alternative funding measures that the legislature would be able to approve or vote on. And some of these alternative funding measures could have incentives in. For example, a lot of discussion last year and prior years has been that maybe we should, at our higher education institutions, give them more money for second-year, third-year, and fourth-year students than we do for first-year students as an incentive to make sure those students flow through the system. What we have in the bill is just this Council of Higher Education Policy Goals, Performance, and Accountability. And I think there's about 17 members on that council and 6 legislators that are going to meet and may adopt recommendations. To me, if we can't come forth with something concrete that we can vote on when we spend this much time, if we need another year, then let's reappoint the summer study and come back with something concrete that we can vote on and not just leave some committee hanging out there that really has no authority in the end. So for that reason, I'm going to oppose the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 5 as amended. Any further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 5 as amended. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, will you please call the roll?
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bogalka.
No.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
No.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holin. Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
No.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
No.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
No.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
No.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Umdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White. Mr. President, there were ayes 28, nays 6, one excused.
Senate Bill 5, as amended, having received a majority vote of the members elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is approved. Please proceed, ma'am.
Senate Bill 3, an act to require the reporting of the outcomes of certain licensure and certification examinations.
Senate Bill 3, having received a second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks? Senator Jones, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. I'd like to speak a little bit about Senate Bill number 3. I was fortunate this summer to be involved in this interim study, and I appreciate the opportunity to have been on that, and I did learn, and my box did get widened. This bill, as our gentleman that presented Senate Bill 5 mentioned, Senate Bill 3 does tie in with Senate Bill 5. And if, with your permission, I'd like to give you those tie-ins to Senate Bill 5. Senate Bill 3 addresses an area of accountability that is important to ensuring the policy goals that are going to be carried out in a quality manner. Senate Bill 3 does three things. Basically, it starts out with the technical institutes. It requires any department, board, commission of the state that administers a license or a certification exam to the graduates of this technical institute to report annually the number of persons that took the test and the number of persons that took the test, the number that passed. Section 2 was similar for the Board of Regents. Any department, board, commission that of the state that administers a license or certification exam to the graduates by the Board of Regents to report annually to the aggregate number of persons that took the test and also the number of those students that passed that test. And finally, the third section, it said that the respective boards, which is the Board of Regents, Department of Labor, they will compile this information and report it to the executive board annually. And the people that take these types of exams, just to give you three examples, nurses will be taking this type of an exam, teachers would take this type of an exam, and on the technical institute side of it, for example, the electricians would be taking an exam. With that information, I would like to have you consider and vote yes on Senate Bill number 3. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator Jones. Further remarks on Senate Bill 3? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 3. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will please call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Frerichs.
Aye.
Heineman.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkeby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman.
Aye.
Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Norstrup.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rave.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White.
Aye.
Mr. President, ayes 35.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Senate Bill 3, having received a majority vote of the members elected, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed approved.
Senate Bill 4, an act to require the Department of Labor and Regulation to determine certain job placement outcomes for graduates of all public post-secondary education institutions in the state.
Senate Bill 4 having received second reading is up for consideration and final passage. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Senator Tiedemann.
Thank you, Mr. President. You're looking very dapper today.
Wow. What do you want?
Well, you just about gave me what I wanted, Mr. President. You were going to announce that it passed. But you stopped.
I did.
So if I may, Mr.
You
President,
may.
I'd like
proceed.
To speak on Senate Bill 4.
Thank you. Please
Thank
proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Senate Bill 4 really addresses an accountability that we found through this study this past summer. I had the opportunity to also serve on the committee, and the only shortcoming was that we didn't go to South Dakota State University or the University of South Dakota or Northern State or all of the other post-technical institutes. We didn't have the time to do that. But we did get to see bits and pieces of research that's going on in some of the smaller universities. And if that can be multiplied many times over, it really gives us the advantage of what we are doing in South Dakota. As you go to the universities or the technical institutes, what we're trying to do is add value to those students after they've graduated from high school. That's an important aspect because that goes into the workforce that then can serve the employers that are in South Dakota. What we found was some inconsistency in how data is collected. The data may not be wrong, but it was inconsistent. Senate Bill 4 brings together the Department of Labor, and our Secretary of Labor did come and testify to the task force, as well as an individual that represented the Western Interstate Council of Higher Education and the Midwestern Compact that came and gave us information. Since we're members as a state of those compacts, it was a free bits of advice that they could bring us from across the nation on performance funding and collection of data. And one of the things that they emphasize is that we need to be consistent in the data that we're collecting if we're going to look at a performance funding package. The Department of Labor also received a federal grant, which will help in the collection of this data. What we're asking is Department of Labor will work with the Board of Regents and with the technical institutes to develop a good set of data on the graduates that come out of there. They will be able to find where those graduates are going within the state of South Dakota. The information will all be confidential. It will not be shared back and forth as far as who, if I graduated from South Dakota State and went back to Baltic, it's not going to be put that Larry did that. It would only be put that we have a graduate who's employed in the state of South Dakota and what they're doing. So with that, I stand by for any questions and urge a good affirmative vote on Senate Bill 4.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on Senate Bill 4. Senator Maher.
Mr. President, question for the sponsor.
State your question, Senator.
how long are we going to be tracking these students? How many years in arrears are we going to track them back? And how far are we going to track them in the future? Are we going to track them for the next 50 years?
Senator Tiedemann, do you wish to answer the question?
Yes, Mr. President, I'll try and answer the question. We really didn't get into that discussion, but I think it's an excellent question. Our intent was to look at as they graduate and to find out, are they staying in the state of South Dakota to see if they're contributing to our workforce? South Dakota has been a great gifter. We take our greatest asset, the youth, we add value to them, and we gift them to the rest of the world. Our goal is to find out, can we keep them here by creating jobs and also keeping those graduates contributing to the state economy?
Senator Maher, you have the floor.
One more follow-up question.
State your question.
So for that student who graduates from SDSU and goes back to the farm and doesn't contribute to the unemployment insurance because he isn't working for an employer per se, or that graduate from USD who goes into an entrepreneurial business and works for himself and doesn't file an unemployment insurance claim, how are we going to track those students and their wage earnings?
Senator Tiedemann, do you wish to answer the question?
I may ask for help, Mr. President, with my next-door neighbor.
Are you able to answer the question? Senator Tiedemann, you're unable to answer the question?
Correct.
Okay. Senator Peters, do you wish to pinch hit?
I will try.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would assume, since they're not unemployed, they're working for themselves, we would classify them as self-employed. And that's, I work for myself, I don't contribute, but you wouldn't classify me as unemployed either.
Senator Maher, you have the floor.
Just to, I would agree with that, because I am myself unemployed, and self-employed, but I'm kind of unemployed, you know.
You know,
I'm just
the terrible thing about that is that's recorded in the archives forever.
Forever, yes.
Probably
so now that I'm unemployed and doing nothing with my life. But just a word of caution that the data is going to be skewed, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I just believe the data that we're going to be gathering by tracking these students, a portion of that is going to be skewed, and that we need to be cognizant of that data, that it probably isn't going to be 100% factual of what our graduates are doing.
Thank you, sir. Further remarks on Senate Bill 4. Senator Wilkie.
I just have a quick question about the tracking. You're only tracking those that settle in South Dakota, not out of the state or international students. They will not be tracked.
Senator Tiedemann, do you wish to answer the question, sir?
Yes, I will, Mr. President. My understanding is the Board of Regents has been working with Department of Labor the last couple of years tracking the students that have received the Opportunity Scholarship to see how many of those are staying in the state. They also are tracking those students that come from out of state to in-state tuitions to see what percentage of them are staying in the state. Internationally, it depends upon if they have the green card, if they can stay longer. So, I mean, that becomes another aspect that would play into that may not give us the best results. Some of the data that's come in already and that will be shared next week by the Board of Regents, I think will be very impressive to us that this system has the potential for working. Thank you.
Senator Wilkie.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess the question is, you were really just tracking those that settle in South Dakota, correct?
Senator Tiedemann.
That is correct. In other words, even if they come from another state and get their schooling here, if they stay in South Dakota, they will be part of that number.
Senator Wilkie, you have the floor.
Well, I was just concerned about, you know, how difficult it would be to track those international that go back to India, Korea, or wherever else. So that
answers
my question.
Thank you. Further remarks on Senate Bill 4. Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final passage of Senate Bill 4. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
Aye.
Bogalka.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buell.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Ferrix.
Aye.
Heinemann.
Aye.
Holine.
Aye.
Hunhoff.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye.
Johnston.
Aye.
Jones.
Aye.
Kirkaby.
Aye.
Krebs.
Aye.
Lederman. Lucas.
Aye.
Maher.
No.
Monroe.
No.
Nordstrom.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Amdahl.
No.
Otten.
No.
Peters.
Aye.
Rampelberg.
Aye.
Rabe.
Aye.
Roden.
Aye.
Soholt.
Aye.
Sutton.
Aye.
Tiedemann.
Aye.
Thiessen.
Aye.
Van Gerpen.
Aye.
Valley.
Aye.
Welke.
Aye.
White. Mr. President, there were ayes 30, nays 4, excused 1.
Senate Bill 4, having received a majority vote of the members-elect, is hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is approved.
But we were going to defer the balance until after 5, right? What is it? After 5? Just a second.
Senator Olson moves that the balance of the calendar be deferred to Thursday, January 24th, the 11th day of the session.
All those in favor of deferral signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're going to revert back to order of business 3 for the reports to come in so they can populate the calendar for tomorrow. Please proceed.
The Committee on Health and Human Services reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 68 and 1044 and recommends do pass, House Bill 1022 and recommends do pass consent calendar, and Senate Bill 75 and recommends do pass amended consent calendar. Jean Hunhoff, Chair. The Committee on State Affairs reports that it has had under consideration Senate Bill 83 and recommends do pass as amended. Larry Roden, Chair.
Anything else? Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, will you join me in welcoming some very impressive people up here from the dairy industry, and specifically we'd like to welcome Mark Letty, who's the CEO of Valley Queen Cheese, and John Davis, who's the CEO of Davisco, and they have an open house tonight, dairy open house, and we appreciate you being here very much and being part of our state. I'd like to also remind you that Ron Wheeler is holding right in 414 the live video from the Underground Lab. And they're going to be a video, interactive video, with the scientists at the 4850 level. I'll show my age. That'll be very cool. And I think if you can get up there, that would be super. That's at room 414 when we're done. Other announcements? Senator Johnston.
Thank you, Mr. President. We're going to do Senate Ed tomorrow morning, 7:45 in room 423. To continue the discussion on the education service agencies and then an agency bill in regard to the state library system. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Krebs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Ag tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., room 412. We'll be taking up brand board bills.
Thank you. Senator Thiessen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Judiciary Committee at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Senator White.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Appropriations Committee will have bill hearings at 8 o'clock tomorrow on LCR 2.
Thank you. Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Commerce and Energy tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. We have a few bills to tackle.
Thank you. Senator Frerichs.
Thank you. The FFA, Future Farmers of America, young people will be 6:30 tomorrow over at the American for breakfast. Expect to see some folks from your home country, and they'll probably be glad to take a picture with you. 6:30 tomorrow morning.
6:30 in the morning? Okay. Senator Adelstein.
Mr. President, as much as I'm reluctant to correct your distinguished president of the Senate, a learned attorney, actually it's really quite warm at that level in the mind.
Nice. Very good. That's it's still cool. Anything further? Any other announcements? Madam Secretary, you're up.
Senator Hunhoff moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried.